This podcast is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those looking to explore classic Christianity with connected age resources, online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode 104. This episode is a reflection on the value of reading Christian books. Recently, I've been reminded about the value of reading books written by our fellow believers in Christ. These books serve as a way of passing along thoughts, insights, and reflections about God, Christ, the Bible, and our faith from both those who have gone on before us as well as our contemporaries. I find it interesting that in the history of the church, past and present, Christians have testified to the influence which books from Christian authors have had on their lives. One such influence happened in Ireland in the late 1850s. Four men, James McQuilkin, Jeremiah McNeely, John Wallace, and Robert Carlyle, known collectively as the Kells Four, started meeting together every Friday night starting in September of 1857 to read scripture, pray, and encourage each other in the Lord. Through these four men, God launched a nationwide revival in Ireland shortly thereafter. The meetings were started after McQuilkin had read George Mueller's narrative. McQuilkin saw in those pages how Mueller believed God was supplying the orphanages which Mueller was running, and that supply was happening solely by prayer. McQuilkin reasoned that the same God who worked miracles for Mueller in England could do so in Ireland as well. He was proved right. Jen Wolken, a current-day Bible teacher from Village Church in Texas, echoes a similar idea in an article she wrote for Table Talk magazine entitled, How Much Should I Study Doctrine? In this article, she mentions the helpfulness of Louis Burkhoff's Systematic Theology in her growth in studying Christian doctrine. This book was given to her as a gift for her 30th birthday. Although she couldn't spend a lot of time gleaning Burkhoff's insights then as a new mom, she eventually could. She writes, As my kids grew older and my sleep patterns got more predictable, Mr. Burkhoff and I became better acquainted. She also provides some good counsel about making time to get into good Christian books. If you consistently find time to study the doctrinal offerings of Facebook and ESPN, you might just be able to reallocate a little of that time for studying Christian doctrine. Particularly good advice for our era of extended distractions. Charles Spurgeon, the 19th century British minister, known by many as the Prince of Preachers, was known to have loved reading the works of the 17th century Puritans. Spurgeon was so strongly influenced by one of those Puritans in particular, Thomas Watson, that he wrote a foreword for a printing of Thomas Watson's Body of Divinity. There's a story of how Spurgeon, when in need of some encouragement from Thomas Watson's writings, had asked his wife, Susanna, to go to his library and to fetch Watson. Jonathan Edwards, perhaps the most famous of colonial-era America's ministers, wrote a set of resolutions to guide his life. That collection of 70 resolutions was penned by Edwards while he was about 20 years old. In all of those resolutions, Edwards refers to only one person by name, a Dr. Manton, and his 27th sermon on Psalm 119. We know that Jonathan Edwards was referring to a sermon, which we have today, written a half century earlier by the English minister Thomas Manton. How wonderful! One giant of the faith who read the works of another. For myself, I cannot list off all the books which I've read on the Christian faith, especially those that have had a strong and lasting impact. Outside of the Bible, of course, there are two books which have been particularly helpful for me, and I want to recommend. One of these is Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald Whitney. When I first read this book back in 1996, it helped give structure and incentive to my devotional life in Christ. Donald Whitney demonstrated the importance of practices such as the taking in of scripture, prayer, biblical meditation, and a number of others. The second book is The Heart of Christ by the 17th century British minister Thomas Goodwin. The book's premise is that the heart of Christ is still deeply moved for his people, despite being ascended to heaven and sitting in glory. Goodwin makes the case from the Bible that after ascending back to his Father in heaven, Christ has not become more austere toward his people, but is even more deeply connected and moved by the plight of his people. It has been and continues to be a book I go back to over and over to be reminded and comforted by Christ's deeply moved heart for his people, including me. A further blessing of the books written by good, solid, biblically Christian writers is that for those who have left this life to go to be with Christ in glory, their words can still instruct, comfort, and challenge us in the present moment. I thought of this in particular when my wife and I visited London in 2014. One of the sites we visited was the cemetery known as Bunhill Fields. This location contains the burial sites of a number of still well-known writers of the past. I paid particular attention to the crypts of John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, John Owen, and also that of Thomas Goodwin. On the flight to London the day before, I was reading from Goodwin's The Heart of Christ. Goodwin was still encouraging me over 300 years after he died, a thought I kept in mind as we stood by his crypt. Goodwin, and countless others in their books, do what is said of Abel in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, though he died, he still speaks. As a reminder, during our year of biblical literacy, the reading of Christian books, even the best of them, should never take the primary place over the intake of the Bible itself. It is a lesson that George Mueller learned during an illness in the summer of 1829 from an anonymous teacher, 4 years into George's new life in Christ. He wrote about this later, and we find that in his remaining 69 years, he prioritized Bible reading to the point that he read through Scripture about 200 times. In her article, which I mentioned earlier in the episode, Jen Wilkin added some further guidelines. She wrote, "We live in an age when access to Bible doctrine, study about the Bible, abounds. It comes to us in the form of podcasts, sermons, creeds, commentaries, blog posts, topical books, streaming videos, and study Bible notes. If we're not careful, we can replace study of the Bible with study about the Bible." In closing this episode, I'll be sharing links for the authors, books, and writings which have been mentioned in this podcast. Please remember to keep the Bible as the main focus of your Christian reading. Yet, it is important and extremely helpful for you to still make time to take in and value the reflections, insights, and challenges left to us in good books written by our fellow believers in Christ, both past and present. They offer us information we might never have learned on our own. They give us insights, often from cultures and times in which we never lived. They challenge us as they often saw things to which we are spiritually blind in our own time, place, and culture. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active. It is found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. Please join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.